So make sure you thank her for that. I got my award. And then I got basically a laxative. I won. This one is a heat patch, but it also works good if it's on your back for removing back hair. Then I got denture adhesives. And my personal favorite, hemorrhoid cream. So I should be taken care of for a couple of weeks anyways. Shows you the love of my class. But anyways, as you see, I'm getting scruggy and hairy looking, and don't worry, I'm not backsliding. It's the 66 that I challenge my class with every year. They can tell me the 66 books of the Bible, and they get a part of shaving my head or my beard. And so far we have two checked out. Obviously I'm losing the hair, so I had to add the beard because it's not as much on top to do anything with anymore. And that brings me to an answered prayer. I was asking the Lord, where can I save money? And I noticed when I was shampooing this morning, there was a lot less going in my hand to shampoo my head. So I said, there's cost savings. That's a good point of going bald. So we got that. With it being my 50th birthday, I'm now looking forward to all those ointments. And now I have the 50 Club smell. So I'll have you smell of Bengay, the smell of all that stuff when I go by. You'll smell that from me now. If you don't know how old you are or don't realize how old you are, go skiing. We went Thursday, and every joint in my body hurts. And it's getting better, but it still hurts. And then talking about birthdays, when I was born, my mom said, look at that treasure. My dad said, yep, let's hurry up and bury it. So that's all the jokes. So now you can turn to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 6. And we're going to do 1 through 15. And if Kyle, would you open us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you. Another day we're able to gather in your house through your word. What a blessing it is to each of us to take us one step closer to you. Please cut off what it is that we carry with us think is too much for you. Help us to help use our burden through your word. And bless Neil as he opens your word. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, before we get into scripture, Ian, there was one question I wanted to ask. How many of you thought when Thad was telling the story of Lydia that after he hollered twice, he turned around and went back and put more tape on her, more putty? He didn't see. I should have said, that was my first thought when he said, Lydia, they got it under control. I'm going back and doing another. I'm just kidding. Chapter 6, beginning first verse. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Aho and the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Aho went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord of all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and it took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased before the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. Now this part I call right here kind of struck me, but David carried it. That's one of the reasons they're having the ox stumbled is because they were doing it wrong. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom-Gilead, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of him and the Gilead through months, and the Lord blessed Obadiah and his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of that guy and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of that guy into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. The point I'm trying to get to is, I've heard this preached on several times. It's probably not going to be rocket science message. We kind of know the reasons. We're going to look into that. But when the other thing that struck me in verse 6, for the oxen shook it. And that kind of, to me, didn't give me a real, it's just kind of, you know, it just shook it a little bit. So go to 1 Chronicles 13. And this is extra. It wasn't anything groundbreaking either, but I just wanted to get it out there. And we'll go First Chronicles 13, verse 9. This is the same basic story. Verse 9, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Now, first of all, it's not ox. Ox would be singular. It's oxen. Number two, if you had oxen, you would have a yoke on them. So to say they stumbled is a pretty good, I mean, they really went. Uzzah didn't just go, oh, hey, it was going to rock pretty hard. So he figured he's going to step in there and put his hand and try to stop it. Just a quick point is, what are you yoked to? What's going to make you stumble? Just quick, easy, that's all I had for that. We asked why Uzzah. It seemed awful rough that God wiped this man out just for trying to steady the ark of God. He just reached his hand up, he's dead. So there was the big three that I've always heard messages on: the cart, the Levites, and the staves. So starting with the first one, we'll go to cart. It was a new cart. The Bible's very specific that it was new. As I was looking at that, the question came to me, what's on your cart? What comes between you and God? What do you think you can use as a cart to get closer to God? What do you have in your life that is a stumbling block between you and God, but you think you're doing the right things? You're using it, you think, for the right reasons, but you're not doing it the right way. You're not doing it God's way. And as I was thinking of that, I started thinking of the new part of the cart, and that brought me to new car. And I'm sure everybody knows of somebody that has a car, they pull it out, they wash it, they dry it, they wax it, they put it back in the garage and put a car cover over it. That's fine and dandy. They have that right to do that. But how many of us are doing that with Christianity? We think that because we go to church, we shine it all up, we make it look good, it's good. We're good. The other one, living in this area, I thought about lifted vehicles. We got all kinds of trucks that are lifted and they're covered in mud, and they've been covered in mud for months because they want to show how much mudding they do. They're not too worried about their cart. They don't care anything about God. They don't care anything about what's between them and God. It's just covered in filth, covered in mud. Their life is that representation. They don't know any different. They don't care to know any different. The other one's a broken down minivan. Of course, I have a minivan, but it does the work. It gets you there. Might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but if it's what you have to get closer to God, then use it. Don't just look for the sports car. You got to use that van. It's important to put what you have into what you have. Newer wreck, God can fix whatever your vehicle is, whatever your problem is. Whatever's separating you from God, He is the fix. He is the one that can take care of the problem. So the second thing I wanted to talk about was the Levite. And again, everybody's probably heard this message. The only ones that were to move it was Levites. So keep a bulletin or something there because we're going to come back. But go to Deuteronomy 10. We're going to do a little bit of research to show us why it's only supposed to be Levites. Sorry, I took my jacket off, but I'm roasting. It's all this extra fur. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi, which would be a Levite, to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. So there's one of the places that tells us only the Levites were supposed to move this thing. Pretty apparent as it wasn't a Levite. Okay? That's what we're getting out of this. So go back to Chronicles 15. I told you to put a marker there. 1 Chronicles 15, 1 and 2. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Pretty clear, it was supposed to be nobody else but a Levite. So that's the other reason I've always heard in messages. That's why Uzzah died. He touched it, probably wasn't a Levite. That's what did him in. Question, or the point that brought to me is, don't forget God's rules. He gives us rules for a reason. Not just to fill a book with, put 66 chapters in there. He put rules in there for a reason, and they're to be followed in a specific way. A lot of times, we want to just, again, build our cart and put God on it and think everything's going to be fine, and we like to use our own things for it. And a lot of times, pride gets in there, religion can get in there, work can get in there, popularity can get in there. We try to put all those things on our cart to try to please God. God's not happy with it. We're not in the right relationship with him. We're not following the rules he set forth. When we do it our way, death can happen. That's what happened to Uzzah. He didn't do it God's way. He died. Again, I thought for a long time, boy, that's awful cruel. There's a reason. You had to follow the rules in a certain way for God to accept it, for God to deal with us correctly. Again, when we do it our way, ends up in death. God's way, go to 1 Chronicles 15, 25 and 28. So right there, just go over a couple. Verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites, and I have underlined there, when God helped, because before they were doing it in their strength. David was doing it in his wisdom. He wasn't asking God for his help. He thought he was helping God, and all he was doing was angering God. When God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the Ark, and the singers, and that word, and master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the cornet, with the trumpets, with the cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. See how it all changed when he did it God's way? There was no issues. There was no problems. Right. It's the same thing with our walk with God. We like to try to fight him. We try to do it our way. We want our input into it. God didn't ask for our input. He asked us just to be followers. Mm-hmm. To back that up a little bit more, start right in chapter 16, 1 through 4. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of the offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Now when we read earlier, they talked about 30,000 men. I just always pictured it was just a group that went out with him, his higher-ups that he had with him. When we went back to the first passage we read, it was like 30,000 men. So you figure, let's double that. They all got a full meal out of this. Put it in perspective, how much food that would have been. Yeah. This is what David is trying to do it right now. He's honoring God. He's trying to put it forth. He's trying to show how important this was. Verse 4, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of God and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. I have underlined there to thank and praise. The first time, again, he was trying to do it his own way. He thought he was pleasing the Lord, but he got done, and he did it the right way, and God honored him, and God helped him, and he didn't forget to thank and praise him. Again, how many times do we get, Thad said they prayed, and it was instant. They had an answer. How many times do God gives us an answer, and we just go, oh, that was great. No, let's thank him, let's praise him, let's take the time to respect who he is and what he's done for us. Again, God's way, proper order. Go to 1 Chronicles 15:11-14. Should be right in the same area there. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, and Shehah, and Eliah, and Aminadab. And said unto them, ye are the chiefs of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Here David again has realized, I messed this up. That's why this man's dead. That's why God's not blessing us moving this. Verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark out of the Lord of the Lord God of Israel. Now, I've kind of went back and forth a couple different times, but like Thad said, the three different verses, the three different interpretations, all the same story, but it's in here for a reason. So I'm bouncing back and forth, but you're seeing the same things, the same reasons. It had to be a Levite, it had to be done in right, it had to be done in order. So are we living our Christian life in order? Where are we at with that? Is what you're doing working? Are you just fly by nighting it? Are you having God wanting him to be the center of your life? Are you just thinking you're doing it your own way with your own cart and Lord will bless it someday? Or are you just willing to submit to God and do it the way he wants you to do it? The third one is staves. And I don't know if I'm going to be right on this or not. I'm going to, hopefully I'm, pastor will tell us that. But you go to the same place we're at, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves therein, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Okay, so what is the ark? Let's go all the way back. What is the ark? What are staves? And what's the big deal? So go to Exodus 25. Sorry, I'm sweating like crazy here. Exodus 25. We're going to go to verse 10 through 15. Exodus 25, 10 through 15. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. I was kind of looking during church, and 1 cubit's basically 18 inches, so if it was 2.5, so there you go, another half. Kind of almost the size of our front table up here. Compared, I mean, I'm not measuring it out with a yardstick, but, you know, okay, it gives you kind of an idea what size we're talking about. verse 11, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. A pastor, gold is deity, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Back to verse 11, and shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with pure gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. That's the other key component on how the Levites had to move it. They couldn't have put it on a cart. That wasn't what God wanted. It was to be borne on these staves, carried by Levites. That's why Uzzah died. Okay? If I'm wrong on that, somebody can straighten me out, but that's what I've always understood and what I've always heard. So the staves were to be covered, I mean, the whole thing was to be covered with pure gold. Reason being, that's where God was going to set. But the staves were to be pure gold. The rings were to be pure gold. So nothing of man could touch that ark. Okay? This is where I say it's a picture of salvation. The staves are Jesus. Man cannot come in contact with the ark or with God without Jesus.
Good.
The staves are covered in pure gold, a sign of deity. Without the staves in there, man could not come to that ark. If he touched it, he died. The only way he could come to God was by having those staves in those holes, and that the Levites had to come in contact with that, and God was the intercessor to that ark.
Amen.
So the point being, you have no way to get to God other than through Jesus Christ. You could not come to God unless you had the staves. You could not come to that ark and come in contact with it. The verse, and I'll read the verse real quick. No, I won't. I can't remember where I wrote it down. John 14:6. I'll go there real quick. John 14:6, if you're going there. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is where I'm saying that those staves are a sign of Jesus, because you cannot come to God unless there's that intercessor. If there's something, there has to be something between man and God, and that's Son Jesus Christ. That's what those staves were. You could not come to that holy seat unless it was something pure deity that was covered with gold. So my question is, where do you keep your staves during the week? Now, our Bible is a one-on-one way to get to Jesus Christ. It's what has been given to us to learn about him, to grow in him, to find out about him. So I'm considering our Bible a stave. Where do you keep your stave during the week? Do you go home and put it in the corner? Do you leave it in the car? Do you leave it at church? Do you leave it in the closet? Are you using your Bible throughout the week? Do you have that desire to grow in Christ, to learn more about him, to get to God? Or are you just getting home and wherever it lands, dusting it off when you get ready to go Sunday morning? It reminds me of that brand new car. Are you doing something with your Christianity, or are you putting it back in the garage, covering up because you don't want it to get marred up? We have to, if God's going to meet with us, we got to be willing to learn more about him. We need to be willing to do the work it takes to follow what he has given us. Verse 15 of Exodus 25. Sorry, I jumped around there on you. Shall not be taken from it. Verse 15. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Again, are you keeping it holy? Are you keeping it pure? Are you keeping your life? You know where your Bible is at all times. Are you in your Bible? Are you willing to use your Bible?
That's good.
Do we live like we have a hold of Jesus, ready to carry the load? Ready to carry the load, or do we just put the load on our own cart the way we build it?
Oh, that's good.
A lot of times we hear the message, we walk out the door. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I feel good today. We've forgotten it before we get home to our houses. Or are we seriously looking in the Bible, seeing words and looking them up like Brother Thad did? This means something, so let's do the work and figure it out. Or are we just waiting for other people to tell us what it's about? You need to put the work in. You need to have the right relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have the staves where they belong so that you can come in contact with God. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so very much for the opportunity to be up here. And thank you for our teens. I ask that you bless each and every one of them that were willing to be involved and get out of their comfort zone and come up here. And do pray that you would help us to close the service, help us to move forward.